Okay, here we go. The beginning of our limud of Hilchos Shabbos. The Nimuka Yosef in Bava Kamma, the second parak of Bava Kamma, asks a question which can be the background for our introduction to the Melachos of Shabbos. The Gemara in Bava Kamma discusses the Av of Eish, in which a person lights a fire in their property and the fire spreads to someone else's property. The Gemara has a discussion, Isho Mishum Mamono or Isho Mishum Chitzav. Is it as if my money damaged, my property damaged, or is it as if I personally damaged? Now, obviously, there's a difference between actually arson, where I go to light the other person's building on fire, versus if I left the fire unattended and then it went over there, even if in this case it's called Isha Mishum Chitzav, that it's a result of me. It doesn't mean that it's the same thing as if I lit the person's fire directly. But the point is, the Gemara says, if you say Isha Mishum Chitzav, it's attributed to me directly. So the Mukhi Yosef asks the question, he says, wait a second. If you say Isha Mishum Chitzav, then how could you ever light Shabbos candles? Because you light Shabbos candles on Erev Shabbos and they burn into Shabbos. So it is as if I were consistently burning the candles. You hear the kasha? So the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef says, no. You have to understand that even if you say Isha Mishum Chitzav, it doesn't mean that it's at every single moment I'm lighting the item on fire which is being consumed, right? Eish again is, let's say I have, God forbid, a barbecue in my backyard and it gets out of control and it burns the neighbor's shed. So Isha Mishum Chitzav means it's as if I burnt their shed. But it doesn't mean that at the moment that the shed is burning, it doesn't mean that I'm standing there. It's as if that, so to speak, retroactively, the entire burning that's going to continue is attributed to me. But I believe I heard this from Rav Shachter and Rav Soloveitchik. He says, the whole kasha, demei kara leisa. There is no kasha in the Nimuki Yosef. Why not? Because Rav Soloveitchik explained that when you talk about Shvisas Shabbos from a malacha, that only applies to an action. You can't talk about doing a malacha b'sheva al taseh. If I light the Shabbos candle on Friday, the fact that it continues to burn, even if it's attributed to me, but if I'm sitting on Shabbos and I'm not doing any isser, I'm not doing any malacha, I'm not doing any activity, so then that can't be considered a violation of Shabbos. Even if you hold Isha Mishum Chitzav, but for Shabbos purposes, that doesn't matter. Why is this a great way to introduce it? Because it introduces this article from Rav Zevin in Lo'or HaHalacha called Shabbos, where Rav Zevin makes the following point, which is that you can wonder, and he discusses two opinions in the Achronim, as to whether or not the Isser Malacha on Shabbos, is that a subjective Isser Malacha? Is that I, the person, should not do anything on Shabbos that constitutes a malacha? Or is that the Shabbos shouldn't exist? There shouldn't be breaking Shabbos in the world, that the world should rest? He quotes a Yalkut that says that in this world, if God forbid a person picks a te'ena on Shabbos, he violates Shabbos. But la'asid lavo, if a person were to pick a te'ena on Shabbos, you know what would happen? The te'ena would say Shabbos hayom, meaning it's in the bria. So what's the difference? So one difference may be the concept of Amira La'akum. What's the reason that Amira La'akum is prohibited? Is the reason that Amira La'akum is prohibited because it has something to do with me? We know the Gemara tells us, Bav Metzia Ayin Aleph Amid Beis, in general, Yesh Shlichus La'akum L'chumra. However, if you look in the Mechilta, in Shmos, in Perakid Beis, Pasuk Tezayin, Kol Malacha Lo Yeyaseh Bahem, the Mechilta says, you shouldn't do it, and your friend shouldn't do it, and a goy shouldn't do your work. Rashi says that the problem is a problem of Dabar Davar. The Rambam
Rambam says, also lomar lagoy lasos lana malacha b'shabbos afal pisha inu mitzuvah al ha-shabbos v'afal pisha omar lo mikodem ha-shabbos v'afal pisha inu tzorach losa malacha el alachar shabbos v'dobar ze osam edivri sofrim. Why? Kedei shaloti yeh shabbos kala b'einayin v'yavo lasos ba'atzman. So if you look in the Shalos and Tshuvos the Chasam Sofer, Orachayim, Chelek Aleph, Simon Pei Dalid, he wonders if maybe the Rambam introduces this new idea, because we wonder if Shlichus La'akam L'chumra applies to Shabbos, or maybe there's something else at play here.
What was the Orachayim about Simon Pei Dalid?
Yeah. He says, perhaps for the Rambam, that there is no shlichus la'akum min haTorah, only midrabanan, etc. Yeah. Take a look there. Why am I bringing this up? Because if you say that Shabbos means that I subjectively can't do malacha, so then if it's a question of shlichus, so then it can be attributed to me. But if you say no, even if you don't say there's a shlichus la'akum l'chumra, but the akum has to rest because the whole world has to rest. So that's something to look at. Ayin Shem, in the article for M7, he quotes different achronim on this question in terms of what's the makar for the isser of Amir La'akam on Shabbos. Another application of this is the Gemara in Brachos and Daphna and Gimel Amid Aleph. It appears, it's quoted in Orachaim, Simin Reish Tzadi Ches Se'ifhei, that you don't make a bracha in Havdalah on Motzoi Shabbos on a ner Shehidliko Akum B'Shabbos. So why not? Reish Tzadi Ches. Hey.
Even nothing.
Ein mevorchen al aner shelo shavas mi meleches aveira la'afuke or shehudlak l'chaya v'lechola shekevet shelohudlak la'aveira mevorchen olav. Aval miliko eino Yehudi b'Shabbos kevan sheim haya madliko liYisrael haya over lo shavas mimalechas avera mikri ve'in mevarchen al or shel avodas gilulim. That's a separate din. So wait a second. A guy lights a fire for himself in his own apartment, having nothing to do with a Jew. So why is that called? Why is that called lo shavas mimalechas avera? So the Shulchan Aruch says, well, since he done it for a Jew, that would be an Avera, so for him it's also an Avera. So if you say that it's subjective, it's hard to understand, but if you say that no, the concept of Shabbos exists in the world, the whole Bria, the way the Rebbe Shlomo made the world is that the whole Bria really should rest, and even though technically speaking non-Jews are not allowed to observe Shabbos, but the Musag of Shabbos is relevant somehow even to the whole world, so then maybe that makes sense. So that's just by way of introduction. I thought it was an interesting, a fascinating article for Rav Zevin, and an interesting way to reflect maybe on this machlokas between the Nemuki Yosef's answer and Rav Soloveitchik's answer. That the Nemuki Yosef's answer is saying, in a certain sense, that malacha, even if you're not doing anything, even if you are b'sheva al taset, still can, that could be a violation of Shabbos. You're not doing anything. The Gavra is not doing anything. Oh, but Malacha is happening in the world and that could be attributed to me? That would be a problem. Mashenkin, according to Rav Soloveitchik, I don't care if Malacha is happening in the world. If I'm not doing it, I'm okay. So I wonder if those two perspectives on the Kasha and Amukhe Yosef reflect these two perspectives that appear in Rav Zevin's article. Is it about me resting? Or is it about Shabbos existing in the world? So that's just a word of Hakdama, and maybe you can add Mili de Agarata to that, probably, about whether it's about the person or it's about the world resting. Any questions, comments, or observations about this, Sa'ara?
In Nemuki Yosef's answer,
yeah.
How did we see that if it's a true, the issue is just its attribution to you?
According to Nemuki Yosef, if you didn't retroactively kind of backload the Maisa, if the halacha would say Isha Mishum Chitzav, I would be violating Melechah Shabbos as the candle burned on Shabbos. How could I violate Shabbos if the candle is burning? The answer is, if because of me work is happening in the world, that's a problem.
So his answer, the question is, why can you light candles if the Isha Mishum Chitzav? And the answer is, that the Melechah is not you only look at the Maisa?
No. The answer is, according to the everything is considered to have happened b'shas hadlaka. I don't know whether you call that front-loaded or back-loaded. It's all finished b'shas hadlaka. It happens to be that the totsah is going to be attributed to me, but the Maisa, which includes all the future actions, is finished now. So when I lit the candles, the entire Hemshech, it's all considered to have happened right now. Okay. Rav Soloveitchik says, I don't need that Chiddush to say that it's all front-loaded as if it happened right now. By definition, if I'm sitting on Shabbos not doing anything, I can't be in violation of a Melacha.
I think that the thought that the world itself needs to rest, like I said, that is resting when the candle is burning, because there is no problem that there is electricity in Shabbos. There is a problem that men make that.
But that's exactly the Chakira. That's exactly the question.
I
you have a non-Jew. The non-Jew is not mechuyev on Shabbos, so why shouldn't he do malacha?
I think there is a difference between non-Jew and the object.
Maybe yes, maybe no. I could hear you could kind of distinguish between the natural world and otherwise. Okay. You know that. Any other ha'aras on this point? This is just kind of like an introductory whetting the appetite. Yeah.
Yes, I wasn't clear about the shizlus. Thing.
Yeah.
If it's Minatora, there's no nachmina at all. If it's not Minatora, then Minatora, it's not attributed to you like Rosalvichik, and only the world needs to be resting, and that would create a problem.
If it's Minatora, then you could say, well, the reason why there's an issue of Amir La'akum is because it's still subjective, and the Shlichas, you know, Shlucha Shalom Kamoso is attributed back to me. But if you say, like the Chasim Sofer, who thinks that according to the Rambam, Shlichas La'akum L'chumra is not Minatora, so then perhaps that's why you have to come up to one of these other explanations. Well, then, why are Chazal concerned about this goy doing malacha? Let him do malacha as much as he wants. If it's not me doing the malacha, it's a problem. So either because, you know, there's a harchaka, but maybe that reflects a broader consideration that really the goy shouldn't be doing malacha because of me, even if I'm not doing it. If I am the cause of something happening out there in the world, or even if the goy has nothing to do with me, but if Lu Yitzur, he lit the candle for me, that would constitute a malacha. So it's a malacha on the books, and I can't use that candle for Havdalah. Interesting idea. Interesting to think about. So Rav Zevin quotes different achronim who take different sides on this question. But that's just by way of general hakdama to the iser of malacha on Shabbos. Do we view it about me as a person, that I shouldn't work, or is it that work shouldn't be happening in the world? Okay, now we can begin in earnest. So we know that there are 39 malachos, lamites, avos malachos, which are enumerated for us here in the 7th parak of Shabbos in the Mishnah, daf ayin gimel amud aleph. Avos malachos are barim chasar achas. And the question is, well, what's the source of these prohibited activities? How do you know that these particular activities are problematic? How do you know which actions are prohibited? So the Gemara doesn't actually make this connection. If you look in the context of Melechus Machsheves in Rashi in Chagigah on Daf Yud Amud Beis, Rashi mentions what appears in the Medrash. Rashi mentions there in the Gemara, he says, well, you know that in Parshas Vayakel, Shabbos and the Mishkan are juxtaposed. So things that were done in the construction of the Mishkan, so that's going to be the model for the things that are problematic in the context of Shabbos.
Where's the Rashi?
Chagiga Yoram Beis, the top. He's mentioning in the context of Melechus Machshavos. If you look in the Mechilta to Rabbi Shmuel, in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, he mentions the Shlosh Vetesha Avos Melacha Sha'omar Lehem Moshe Alpeh. So, if you want to know what the makor for what is considered a Melacha on Shabbos, it's Torah Shebal Peh. Because when you look in the Chumash, it just says Issa Melacha. It doesn't tell you what it is. So either you're going to learn the Melachos, the kinds of work, from looking at the Mishkan, or you're going to learn it Baal Peh.
What was that Makom Mechadishmos?
In Vayakel Aleph. Right in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. So that's in terms of the source for what is prohibited. But how do you know that these are particularly the 39 Avos Melachos? So the Gemara gives you a couple of options. How do you know 39 specifically? The Gemara on Ayin Amud Aleph gives you a gematria of Eile HaDvarim, Dvarim HaDvarim. So that's how you get to 39. The Gemara in Memtes Amud Beis tells you it might be Malacha, Malachto, Maleches. Count up the numbers of times that that appears. And if you look in the Tosfos Yontif, he actually does the math to kind of help you out to make sure you get to the right number. And then the Gemara says on Mem Testament Bay is one other option. And what's that? But the Mishkan. Whatever we saw in the Mishkan, the Gemara says, Keneged Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, Keneged Avodos HaMishkan. It's opposite the things that appeared in the Mishkan. So, according to this last opinion, this third opinion, the Gemara is telling us that it's not just the concepts of what constitutes Malacha is learned from Mishkan. The number of categories of Malacha is also learned from the Mishkan. So Tosfos here, he scrambles a little bit because he says, initially he says, I don't really know what they're arguing. And then he says, well, it must be that they're arguing. If you look here in the Maharsha says that they're arguing about the following svara. Do you need an independent limud to tell you what's called an av? So according to the Manda Omar, that it's melecha, melecha, melechto, meleches, then you need an independent limud to tell you 39. If you say, no, you don't need an independent limud, so it's all learned from the Mishkan. The fact that the concept of Malacha is learned from the Mishkan, and what was in the Mishkan teaches you what constitute avos. So this might be related to the question of the Girsa in the Gemara in Sanhivav Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, Hach Dahavi B'Mishkan Chashiva Kari Le'av. So it's not clear, is it Hach Dahavi B'Mishkan, therefore it is Chashiva? Or is it Hach Dahavi B'Mishkan V'Chashiva? 2 days in Tosfos. So this question of whether or not the Mishkan tells you both things, the concept of Malacha and how many avos there are, or maybe the Mishkan only teaches you the concept of Malacha, but how many avos Malachas you have to decide based on what is Chashiv. And that may be, according to the Maharsha, the Machlokas here. But either way, we have three opinions of the Gemara, but everybody agrees that we have Lamites Malachos, 39 Malachos, and the core of that, the Isser, the source of these Malachos, even if the number 39 is coming from somewhere else, the Eila HaDvarim, it's rooted in the Asiyas HaMishkan. So the question is, what aspect are you looking at in terms of the Mishkan? So Rashi and Mem Tes Amud Beis tells you that it's learned from the Mishkan because of the samamonim to make tcheles and the dyes. Well, the truth is, the Gemara itself says, "Heim zaru v'katzru samamonim litzvoat cheles v'oros elim v'tachnu v'loshunami samamonim litzvoa v'ofe." The Gemara doesn't say it expressly, so Rashi develops it. That's Dira Maskel, "Heim zaru v'katzru One second, hold on. Yeah, the Gemara just says, it is, the Dibur Maskil here is faulty. The Gemara just says, Haim Zaru Va'atim Lo Tizru, Haim Katsu Va'atim Lo Tizru. So Rashi says, what were they planting and harvesting? Samamonim for the Mishkan. But the Egle Talir quotes from Rav Hai, who says, no, it's not about the construction of the Mishkan, it's for the functioning of the Mishkan, like the Karban Tamid and the Minchas Chavitim, so you need wheat. So if you look there in the Psicha, the Egle Tal, in Oz Aleph, as well as later on in Dosh, in Sif Kata Yud Zayin, he discusses this machlokas between Rashi and the name of the Rabbi Nuhai, as to whether or not the limud from Mishkan is from the Binyan HaMishkan or the functioning of the Mishkan. So it's interesting that the Gemara later on, when it discusses the 39 malachas that are listed in the Mishkan, in the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara wonders why on Ayin Dal Amud Beis, Shavak Tana Didan Bishol Samamonin Dahava B'Mishkan V'Nakat Ofe, and it quoted Ofe. Ofe meaning baking, and what's the impression? That baking wasn't in the Mishkan. What do you mean baking wasn't in the Mishkan? Don't you need baking for the Menachos? So the Egle Tal gives an answer that maybe we only learn from things that were asur to do on Shabbos in the Mishkan, and Ofe was mutter in the Mishkan like Shechita was. But Ayin Sham, whether or not it's from the construction of the Mishkan or the functioning of the Mishkan, but that's going to tell us that there are malachos, well, that there is a concept of malacha that's learned from the Mishkan, the number of the malachos are learned from other places or from the Mishkan, and then what is the source of the Mishkan? According to Rashi, it's the construction of the Mishkan. So now that we have all these things down, what does it mean that it's on the list of the 39 Avos Malachos? What's the significance of that list? So the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma on Daf Beis Amud Aleph that there is, in general, something called, a concept called Avos and Toldos, main categories and subcategories. And the assumption of the Gemara there is that, generally speaking, Toldosein Kayotze Bahen. Toldosein Kayotze Bahen means that Avos and Toldos are the same. The toldos are no different than the avos, and that's why if a person violates a tolda, they get the same onesh, whether it's skila or chatos, whatever it is, they're going to get that same onesh, depending on the circumstances, as if they violated one of the avos. So we're going to have to figure out, well, number one, what is an av and what is a tolda? And then number two, what's the nafkamina between an av and a tolda? So, what is an av? How are you magdir an av malacha? So we said there were 39. The Mishnah told us there are 39 avos malachos. L'may nafkamina. So that parak klal gadol is about the nafkamina of the chiluk chatos. Chiluk malachos means you can never get more than 39 chatos for various different malachos. But if you look in the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara discusses Zorea and Notea and Mavrich and Markiv. It sounds like there are lots of Avos. And if you look in the Talmud Yerushalmi, here in Perek Zion, Halacha Beis, the Yerushalmi says that the Amoraim spent a ton of time, it's on page Mem Dalet in the old editions of the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan Shem Elokish Avdin Havu Bahada Pirka Tlas Shenin Uplag Afku Minon Arba'in Chaser Achas Toldos Al Kol Chada V'Chada. They worked for years to learn 39 toldos for each av. And then the Gemara says the Bnoi Reb Chia Ruba Avdin Havu Bahadin Pirka Shita Yarchin, and they came up with Shit Milin Al Kol Chada V'Chada, etc. So the Yerushalmi says, right here in the beginning of the second halacha, after they quote the drashas to teach you lamates malachos, they tell you the number of avos and toldos, and they have to explore them. Because it's hard to figure out what's the difference between an av and a tolda? What makes something an av, and what makes something else a tolda? So how would you distinguish between an av and a tolda? So the Rambam, in Perek Zion, Halacha Hey says Hatolda hi hamalacha hadoma la'av me elu ha'avos. It's similar to an av. What does it mean that it's similar? So the Magid Mishnah in Dalid says the data shakavanas rabbeinu yishakol malacha shidoma la'av b'dimyon gamor ela shachaluka mimena be'echos ha'pu'ula o be'echos ha'nifal harizu av kemosa aval hamalacha hadoma la'av b'miktas zui ha'nikris tolda. So the Magid Mishnah first tries to crack this nut. And by the way, if you want a further explanation of this, take a look in the Or Sameach here in the long piece in the beginning of Perek Zayin. There are avos and there are toldos, but that doesn't mean...
Can you remind you explain?
Yeah, I'm going to explain that. There are avos and there are toldos, but that doesn't mean that there's only one av in one category. The Mishnah told us there are 39 avos malachos, so that means there are 39 main categories of work. But you can actually violate three different avos in the same category. So there are actually more than 39 avos malachos. There could be 50 avos malachos, there could be 100 avos malachos. Beneath those avs are toldos. So what the Magid Mishnah is saying, wait a second, how do you know whether something is an av, it's a parallel av, or it's a tolda? So for example, Zorea, the Mishnah tells us, is an av. And yet, the Gemara also tells us that Notea is Malacha Achasein. And the Rambam tells us that Notea, here in Perek Zion, Halacha Gimel, that Notea Kol Elu Av Echad Hein Me'avos Malachos, because Zorea is with seeds and Notea is with saplings. So you can have, according to the Rambam, parallel avos. So what makes something a tolda? So the Rambam says a tolda is something that's not as similar. That's what the Magid Mishnah says is. It's dome la b'miktas. It's hard to understand exactly what does that mean, dome la b'miktas. So the Kalkelas Shabbos, he says, if you look here in his Hakdama, he says that something where the pu'ula is not taking place beguf hadavar, that's called a tolda. But if it's something that's similar, even if it's only similar b'tachlis and not b'pu'ula, that's called a parallel av. So what would be an example of this? Zomer. What is Zomer? What's Zomer? Exactly. Pruning. So because the pruning is taking place on the tree itself and it's helping it grow, so the Kalkelas HaShabbos says that is called an av. And who does that fit with? That fits with the Rambam. The Rambam says here in Halacha Gimel that Zomer is av echad hein. So that's one way to understand the difference between the av and the tolda, that as long, at least according to Kalkelas HaShabbos, as long as they're taking place in the same cheftza, the same item, and it's similar enough in terms of its, you know, idea, so then that's considered a parallel av. As opposed to, he says, watering plants, mashkemayim lezorim, since your hand is on the watering can, not in the plants, that's not called in the guf hadavar, and that would be a tolda. And that would be a nice explanation for the Rambam. Yes, Mike.
Rambam says, if I do shlosh, parallel avos, parallel avos,
no, one chatas, because it's one category.
So what's an afkamina?
Good, so we're going to get to that in a little bit. What's an afkamina between something being a parallel av versus being a tolda? Great, we'll get to that in a minute. But right now we're just trying to figure out what's an av, what's a tola. However, Rashi does not agree with this. Because Rashi, on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, says that Zomer is a tolda. So what's the difference between Rashi and the Rambam? Why does Rashi think that Zomer is a tolda? So the way that Rav Shechter explained this is that... What's that? I don't remember if he wrote it down, but when we learned Shabbos, I think this is how he explained it, is that an Av has to be similar to what existed in the Mishkan, betachlis ubepu'ula, in its goal and in its action. So, for example...
That's right. That's not a Mishkan. That's true.
No, it's not. Yeah, they have to. Both of them need to be there. The Kalkalos Shabbos said not true.
The Magen Mishnah is telling Kalkalos Shabbos. Kalkalos Shabbos has that extra osafa.
Correct. The Magen Mishnah is very unclear. The Magen Mishnah just says it has to be very similar, and that's an av. Not so similar, that's a tolda. It's hard to figure out what that means. So the Kalkalos Shabbos gives it a little more bones, and he says as long as it is in the chevtza and it's similar betachlis, that's adequate to be an av. Rav Shechter said, no, according to Rashi, if it's not Dome Bepu'ula, it's called a tolda. And this is the difference between Rashi and the Rambam. The Rambam says that Zomer is an Av, because it's similar Betachlis. And that's adequate. That's what the Kalkalos HaShabbos said. But Rashi said that Zomer is a tolda. Why is Zomer a tolda? Because even though it's similar betachlis in terms of helping the tree grow, causing growth, but it's different in the pu'ula. In the case of the seeds, or the planting, or the harkava, or the havracha, you're taking something that doesn't exist, and you're making it exist. You're making a new tree. You're making a new growth by grafting it onto the next tree, or you're making a new growth by sticking it into the ground and making it come up, like Markiv. That's different than pruning. Pruning is attending to an already existing growth. So it's not similar to the pa'ula, which the Kalkalos HaShabbos notes. Rashi says, if it's not similar to in the pa'ula, so that's why that's called a tolda. Okay? So as we will see, not everybody is always going to agree about what's called an av and what's called a tolda. So it's going to be important to figure out what's what for the following nafka minas. Yeah?
I guess the mission left out because of the whole thing. He thinks they're all tolos. They're all over there. He left out the whole idea of being parallel avos.
Yeah, because he quotes from the Ramach, why do you have 39 if yeah. There are multiple? Yeah.
He thinks it just means there's avos and tolos. And kumuchachas mean all tolos.
Let's see. One second. Does he conclude? Because he only quotes the Ramach here. I don't see where he comments. I think he just quotes the Ramach verbatim. I don't know that he's masking to that.
I think he's just
being up
with the
nonsense. Yeah, he just says Akan Lashono. But he doesn't comment, so I'm not sure what he thinks.
If he quotes it without, it's agreeing with
it. I don't know, could be. Because the confusion here is about when the Gemara says, Kulan Malacha Achasim, what does that mean? According to the Rambam, Kulan Malacha Achasim means they're all avos, parallel avos. According to the Ramach's interpretation, they're all toldos of one av, and according to Rashi, it's actually not Kulan. Some of them, except for Zomer, are avos, parallel avos, and Zomer is a tolda. So what's the nafka mina between being an av and being a tolda? So this is part of what's not so clear, because as much as you're going to come up with a good nafka mina, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma right there, and the Gemara here in Tzadi Vav on the Beis wonders what's the difference between avos and toldos. Am I korle av, am I korle tolda? So the Gemara says, yeah, Hach davav mishkan chashiva kar le'av, hach delo av mishkan chashiva lo kar le'av. Or inayma, Hach inami hach de ksiva kari av, hach lo ksiva kari tolda. And the Gemara goes on. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Baba Kama, well, if you hold that you are chayav only if you do multiple avos and not the toldos among them, so then there's a big nafkamina. If I do an av of kotzer and I do an av of korea, so I'm chayav two chatos, but if I do an av of kotzer and a toldo of kotzer, only chayav one chatos. So knowing what is an av and what is its tolda is important. By the way, this would not, on this line, there would not be a nafkamina between a parallel av and a tolda. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the Gemara says, but what about Reb Elezer? Reb Elezer says, you're chayv, I told him a makam av. You're chayv two chatos if you do an av and it's tolda. So what's the nafkamina? So one is to say, my dahava ava, it is what it is. Tosfos quotes another option, which is on Sadi Vavim Beis, Hasra of Tolda B'Makom Av. Tosfos quotes two opinions, whether or not you do need to do Hasra of the Tolda in the name of the Av. So, if you held you need to be Master Tolda B'Makom Av, it's going to be a big nafkamina, what's called an Av and what's called a Tolda. Because if you have a Tolda, you need to tell you what the main category of that is. But there may be one more nafkamina of Avos and Toldos, according to the way that Rav Schechter explains it. So I want to jump ahead for a moment to something we're going to explain very shortly, but it's important to bring it up now. We're trying to figure out what's the difference if something is an Av and a Tolda, right? Especially if you have parallel Avos versus Toldos, what's the difference? According to Rashi, Zomer is a Tolda. Why does it matter that Zomer is a Tolda? Why don't you say Zomer is an Av? What's the difference? So if Shachter points to a Ran in the end of the 14th Perek, in the context of Mesuchraisa Denizaisa, sticking a rag into a spigot to pop up to stop up the barrel with the wine, and maybe some drops are going to come out, so you're worried about Schita. Schita, squeezing, is a Tolda of Dash. So the Ran says, yeah, don't worry about Schita in this case, because it's just going to get ruined, it's going to spill, and it's going to fall away. So, wait a second. Why should it matter if you don't really care about what's going to happen to the drips that are going to fall away? Lamaisa, you still did Schita. Well, the answer is because you're not interested in, your focus is not, the purpose of what you're doing is not for catching those drips, it's for plugging up the barrel. And this is what we're going to call in a little bit, Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. It's not the purpose that you're intending when you do this. So, the Ran says, that's not a problem. So the question is, why? Why is it not a problem to do the to put the rag into the barrel if you know some of the drips are going to come out? Why is that not a problem? So the Halakha, Gaon, and the Chassid, Rabbi Nachum Zemba, Tzchus Yagon Alein HaShem Yikom Damo, the Totzos Chaim, and that piece in the Marba Komos, he says, you know why? Because it's kind of like a tolda de tolda. It's a tolda because it's Schita tolda de dash, and it's also like a tolda because it's Ein Tzricha L'Gufa. But what do you mean? What does that mean that it's a tolda to toldos? Rav Schechter says, based on the way we defined avos and toldos, it makes perfect sense. What did we say is the definition, according to Rav Schechter, according to Rashi, of the difference between an av and a tolda? What's the difference? It's dome to the mishkan in the tachlis, but it's different in the pu'ula. So why is schita a tolda? Because what's the av? The av is dash. What's dash? Extracting. Where you have a chaff, and inside of it is a husk, and you stamp on it, and you break off the husk from the chaff. That's what you're doing. You're breaking one from the other. So it's not exactly the same thing. It looks very different when you squeeze something and juice comes out of it. But it's the same tachlis. You've extracted one thing from the other. In one case, it's banging and crushing and stepping on a shell to get the husk to break off. In the other case, it's draining out the liquid. Right? So it's different in the pu'ula, and it's similar in the tachlis. Exactly. Meir Simcha pointed out, exactly. Rav Shechter said, you know why a tolda in suicha legufa is not a problem? Because you have no dimyon to the Mishkan Bechlal. You don't have dimyon in the pu'ula, because the tolda is different in the maisa. The extracting of dash is different than the extracting of schita. It looks different. And it's also not doma betachlis, because now it's in suicha legufa. So if you're not doma, not the pu'ula, and not betachlis, that's why the Ran thinks it's not a problem to have a tolda that's in suicha legufa. So this would be a nafkamina between an av and a tolda. If you have a parallel av of Zorea, for example, then that parallel av would be a problem if it's ain't Sricha Lagufa, because it's dome betachlis nonetheless. But if you have a tolda, which we're saying is different in the pu'ula, so then if it's not dome bu'ula and not dome betachlis, that's why the Ran says that it's mutter. That's the kind of harchava, that's the added biur, a little bit different than what Rav Menachem Zempa is saying in terms of this nafkamina. So now we understand avos and toldos, they come from the Mishkan. There are 39 main categories. Now we have to distinguish what's called an av and what's called a tolda. Generally speaking, there aren't many differences. Kayotzi bahem, Toldos same kayotzi bahem, so maybe I'll have an afkamina for a hasra, or maybe I'll have an afkamina for a tolda in Sricha Lagufa, but generally speaking, avos and toldos, they both are asr midaraisa. Okay? So far so good? Okay. So, we mentioned before, in the context of connecting Shabbos to the Mishkan, that the Rashi in Chagiga, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us on Daf Yud, that one of the special, magical, unique qualities of Shabbos is a din called Meleches Machsheves. Meleches Machsheves does not appear in the context of Shabbos at all. Where does it appear? It appears there in Parshas Vayakel in the context of the Mishkan. But Rashi points out that it's because of the juxtaposition between Shabbos and Mishkan that we carry over the concept of Meleches Machsheves to Shabbos. So what does Meleches Machsheves mean? It means it needs to be Meleches, it needs to be constructive work, which is why Rashi in Sanhedrin on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis tells you that Mekalkel is Potter on Shabbos. It has to be Meleches. If it's not Meleches, if it's not constructive action, if it's not creative action, it's not a Melacha. Pei Dalet Amud Beis, yeah. Why do you think it is that Tosfos in Shabbos on Daf Gimel, and he says it again later on, Tosfos says that Hotzah is a Malacha Gerua. Why is Hotzah a Malacha Gerua? Why is it the ugly duckling of all the Malachos? Why does the Gemara need on Sadi V'Yavav Amud Beis a pasuk to teach you the source for the malacha of Hotzah, Vayitzav Moshe Vayaviru Kol B'machaneh? So Tosas here in Dima Masal Hotzah says, why do I need a makar? Isn't it like every other? I don't have a makar for Meleches Kosev. So Tosas says, yeah, it's because it's a malacha grua. Why is it a malacha grua? I think the first one to give this hesber was the Marach or Zeruah, but the traditional, I think all the Achronim quoted, is that there's nothing creative. You've taken a chefza in one area, in one domain, and you've moved it to another domain. But when you finish, you haven't seen any transformation. You haven't seen any malacha, any creative action. So, of course it's a malacha grua. And then there's Yesh Ladon, Rabbi Rosenzweig once gave a whole chabura, about now that malacha includes hotzah, is hotzah like everybody else or no? Maybe it's still malacha of hotzah is ugly duckling. Even though we have a bakar for it, it's still kind of the odd man out. That's Yesh Ladon, we learn Hotzah. But the idea is that Meleches Machsheves means it has to be Meleches and it has to be Machsheves. It has to be Malacha, it has to be constructive, creative activity just like in the Mishkan, just like in my Sabrashis, it has to be constructive work. It also has to be machsheves. It also has to have the correct, machsheves has to have the correct intent. So whenever we're going to gauge the violation of any Melechus Shabbos, we're going to measure it first by the Melechus, the Poel, which next time we'll talk a little bit about Shinui, and then it's going to be measured against machsheves, the intent. So that intent is going to be unique in all areas of Hilchos Shabbos. So for example, we know that in Kol HaTorah Kula, the Gemara tells us in Krisos, that if you're misasik, if you did something completely unwittingly, unrecognizable to you that this was an action, totally, you know, what do they say, involuntary action, almost, right? A person had no idea what they were doing, and something happened. They had no idea that it was even happening. So misasik is not liable. Misasik is patur, except for chalom v'arayos. However, Tosfos here in Shabbos on Ayin Beis and Beis tells you that when it comes to Shabbos, you have a higher threshold of misasik. Why? Because Melechus Machsheves means that your intent has to be more in tune. And if something, Tosfos says, you had kavana to snip this plant, to violate kotzer of this plant, and then you snipped a different plant. So he says that even though there's a machlokas, Abai and Rava, they're about snipping plants, he says everybody will agree that in this case, since you didn't intend to snip the plant that you thought you were, that's misasik. Doesn't qualify as misasik in Kol HaTorah Kula? Doesn't matter, because Shabbos, you have a higher threshold of machsheves. That's number one. We also have a concept in Shabbos called Davar She'enu Miskaving. Davar She'enu Miskaving is the law of unintended consequences. This appears in Beitza Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, and on Shabbos on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph in a bunch of places. So when you have a Davar She'enu Miskaving, an unintended consequence, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Shimon. What would be an example of a davar she'enu miskaving? What would be a case? Anybody want to venture a guess? It might have to do with a bench. That's right. Gor adam mita kisa v'safsal, dragging a bench. If I ask you what you're doing, what would you say? That's right. I'm dragging a bench. But what is the unintended consequence of dragging a bench? Let's say the bench is heavy and the earth is soft. What's going to happen? It's going to be malachas choresh if it's outside. It might be bone if it's inside. So you're also doing a malacha. So Reb Shimon says that's not a problem. Reb Yehuda says that is a problem. What kind of problem is that? So if you look in Tosfos and Shabbos, Mem Aleph Amud Beis, Dibur Maschil Mecham, Tosfos says, even though Reb Yehuda says that it's a problem for a davar she'enu miskaving on Shabbos, that's only derabbanan. Why is it maximum a derabbanan? Because even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's only a violation on a derabbanan level because it's malachas machsheves. Even though...
Okay, you say it's malachas machsheves,
exactly. Machsheves. It's not up to the standard of malachas machsheves. So when Reb Shimon says that it's mutter and Rabbi Yehuda says that it's aser, he doesn't mean that it's a chi of chatas. Why is it not a chi of chatas? In Kol HaTorah Kula, Rabbi Yehuda says that davar she'enu miskaving is a chi of chatas, but not in Shabbos, because it's a chesaron, melechus machsheves.
Mem
Aleph Amud Beis, Dibur Maschil Mecham. Now this machlokas between Reb Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is only in a standard case. But what if you have a guaranteed case? You have such soft earth and such a heavy bench that you know with 100% certainty, when you drag this bench, you're going to make a furrow. When you cut off the head of the chicken for a toy for your kid, you definitely will kill the chicken. So, more Reb Shimon b'psikreish v'lo yamos. Reb Shimon agrees. So, there is a fascinating machlokas between the Tosfos and the Aruch in a case where that psikreisha is lo nichale. which for the moment we'll translate as you don't really care about. I don't care about it at all. If I cut off the head of the chicken, truth to tell, I really could care less if the chicken lives or dies. I'm not using the chicken, dead or alive. I just want the head of this chicken, let's say. Or, as the Gemara gives here in Kuf Gimel and Aleph, it's Ba'ara Dechavre. I'm digging in somebody else's yard, and I really don't care what happens to their yard. They're not my, you know, my best friend, whatever. This, by the way, just parenthetically, Ayin Sham in the Chidushim of the Marcheshes, Rav Chanach Henach Egis, Skus Yogan Alino Hashem Yikom Domo, on the Shitas HaRambam, about this Ha'ara, about Ara Dechavre and Isli Hoshana Achrite, is an awesome Ha'ara, but it's not for today. So what if you have a case where it's Lo Nichale, I don't really care. So Tosva says, you're right, even though it's Lo Nichale, it's still Aser, but he quotes in the Aruch, who says that it's Mutar L'Chatchila. Well, what's the machlokas here? So the machlokas here, according to beautiful Hezbar of Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, Shem Yikom Dom Eskus Yagin Aleinu, Rabbi Elchanan says this is the machlokas. Let's go back to the beginning. We said that you always need Meleches Machshevas, right? Means you need to have a proper action and you have to have the proper intent. Well, a davar she'eino miskaven, if you're not intending for it, that's not a Meleches Machshevas. That's not what you're thinking about. But if it's a psik resha, according to Reb Shimon, then what? What happens if it's a psik resha? What does that mean? When it's a psik resha, how does that go around? How does it circumvent the davar she'eino miskaven loophole? Either because it's ki'ilu you were miskaven, or we say no, it's one maisa, and you can't deny that. Is the pshat in a psik reshe that it's ki'ilu iskavanti? Or is it that, well, it doesn't really matter what I was thinking because l'maisa, it's called chad maisa, it's one maisa. When I'm dragging the bench, that is an act of choresh. And, you know, I don't have to think too hard about it because when you ask me what I'm doing, that's the maisa that I'm doing, like it or not. So Rabbi Chanan says, perhaps this is the machlokas between Tosfos and the Aruch. The Aruch says, what is psik reshe? It's ki'ilu hiskavanti. But if it's lo nichale, then I wasn't really miskaving for it. Whereas according to Tosfos, it's not that it's ki'ilu hiskavanti, it's that it's chad maisa. So you're right, you've downgraded it because it's lo nichale. It's not going to be melech machshev, it's only going to be aser midrabanan, but it's still going to be aser. Why? Because it's still chad maisa. You still did the maisa. As opposed to, according to Rabbi Chanan, you can't be misyaches. You're not miyaches that maisa to me, in the case of the hiskavanti. Yeah. What's that? That's right. That's right. Sorry, maybe I didn't say it correctly. Rabbi Yehuda says, even a case where it's a doubt, since at the end of the day I did it, I'm chayav. It happens to be that on Shabbos it's only derabbanan because of melechus machshevas, but in Kol HaTorah Kula, Rabbi Yehuda would say that if a person, let's say, makeh aviv v'imo, the person, God forbid, hit their parent in a way that it was davar she'eino miskaven, but they did it, and then it turned out that it was osa chabura, Rabbi Yehuda said they were chayav misa. Yeah, there's simcha.
So, according to Tosos, he's going to say, like, the second mahalaj in Rabbi Chanan, in Pesik Reisha, that Chanan doesn't really matter because Yehuda is one misa. Is that correct?
According to Tosos, correct.
Correct. So then, what's the difference between the davar she'eino miskaven?
And
because
what?
The davar she'eino miskaven is, you're not sure if it's going to happen, Pesik Reisha, you're saying it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Your kavana doesn't matter since you did the maisa and it's happening right now.
Correct. So, according to Tosfos, a standard davar she'eino miskaven, since you don't know that it's going to happen, and when I ask you what you're doing, you're not acknowledging that you're doing that, that's heter gomor, according to Reb Shimon. But if it's definitely going to happen, it's not heter gomor, because lamaisa is chad maisa. So in this context, we should just be aware, just parenthetical note here, of the Shita of the Meiri there in Shabbos. The Meiri holds that Davar Sheina Miskaving, when it's a Psik Resha Delo Nichale, what's the discussion here? That's all when your feelings are pariv. But Kshehamalacha Hanigraras Mimena Kashalo, when you're upset about it, when it's a negative result, then the Meiri holds that Reb Shimon is Matar even Lachatchila. So that's an important distinction. We said before that Davar Sheina Miskaven with a Psik Resha Delo Nichale, no Nichale means I don't care. I'm digging in the next guy's field. I don't care that it's making a ditch for him. I want the dirt. I collected the dirt. Fine. Is that bothering me? Is that a situation that's bothering me? It's not bothering me. But if it were a situation that was kashalo, then the Meiri says, even Reb Shimon would be matir l'chatchima. So that's going to come up. It's quoted by Rav Ovadia in this tshuva, I'll tell you where it is. A long tshuva in Yabia Omer Chelek Aleph Orachain Simen Chaf Aleph in the discussion about refrigerators. One of the things that he brings in there has to do with the effect of a psikresha of cold air coming in. You don't want the cold air to come in. That's not just a psikresha de lo nichale, that's a psikresha that's koshalo, because warm air coming into your refrigerator. The warm air is going to come into the fridge and it's going to cost you more in your electric bill. So that's an important ha'ara, how to define Davar Sheina Miskaven with a Psik Resha Delo Nichale. Yeah?
Do you mind getting a marmakom for Vajin?
Chelek Aleph, Simen Chaf Aleph.
Okay, and then also, so the Meiri's basic assumption of a Psik Resha?
Yeah.
Without anything on that, is low ichbalay. And once it's
low
nichalay,
no.
Then it's
going to
be
mudra gamre. If it's low nichalay, meaning, but it's not relying on the aruch. It's saying, forget about the aruch. The aruch and Tosus were only arguing about the parav case.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying that even Tosus will agree that that's kind of the way the Meiri adds.
He's saying there's a case that doesn't appear in the Gemara at all.
Or the case that appears in the Gemara is mutar l'chatchila if it were a case that was bothering. It happens to be that you're right, that doesn't appear in the Gemara, but Lu Yitzir, you came up with a case like that, that's what we would say. Yeah, Yav?
Why is this always extremely? On the other hand, it is mutar in the other hand, chayav.
What do you mean? No, nobody's going to say chayav here.
No, I understand the situation that only chayav.
Yes?
If it is not chayav in the name of it is bad to me,
yes, then it's mutter l'chatchilo, according to the Meiri Heter Gomer.
If I know I don't care, that's chayav.
No, it's not chayav, it's only asr mid... No, it's only asr midrabanan. Psik reish lo nichalei, Tosa says, asr midrabanan.
I don't understand. The psik reish that the Rav Rishon has said, psik reish of the real mood. That's... Every psik reish... Every enomi kamen is lo nichalei. If I said lo nichalei in the meaning of it is bad to me, I understand. But
not true. Let's say you have the standard case of gorer kisa mita v'safsel. That's nichalei. I'm happy to have a ditch in my backyard.
Okay.
Right? Ara dechavri, the chiddush in ara dechavri is that's no nichalei. I could care less about it. All right, I want to finish this up. I'll just make one last ta'ara based on which maybe we'll develop at a later time. Based on a Shulta Giborim in Shabbos here in Mem Heyam and Aleph in the Dapei Arif about Psik Reishas La'achar Zman, which we'll talk about maybe more in depth at a different time. I still remember when I was in Smicha, this question about the Reb Elchanan with the Psik Reisha with La'achar Zman and the Shulta Giborim is a whole discussion which maybe we'll talk about at some point about electronic sensors. Because there, I'm here, but the Psik Resha is taking place. I walk by the sensor's over there, and I'm over here. Ein Sham. So there's a question in terms of timing, and there's in terms of Grumma. Right, so there's two different points. There's the placement, and then there's La'achar Zman, as it fits for a Grumma. But I don't want to discuss that too much today. And then the other, just one other ha'ara that we should look out for, in addition to that Shulti Giborim, is Rav Avadya's tshuva in Chelek Beis, Yechavadas Chelek Beis. Here it is. Chelek Beis Simen Vem Vav on Psik Reish and Issa Drabanan, where he quotes Machlokas Achronim based on the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim in Aruch Haim Simen Shin Yudalid Seif Aleph. What about a Psik Reish on Issa Drabanan? Do we only say a Psik Reisha on an Issa Daraisa, which is the way of Avadya's no to Lahaka like many Achronim, or do we say Eden on an Issa Drabanan? Let's say the context here is sticking a knife into, or taking, in the case here, it's taking a knife out of, let's say, a tack board or a bottle or a barrel, where maybe you're going to be marchiv the opening, which won't be an Issa Daraisa, but it'll be an Issa Drabanan. So I'm not sure. The other thing to keep in mind, although I didn't write down the Mar Mokam, there's a discussion about that we don't hold a psik reishas when it comes to non-Jews. If the guy is doing a malacha and the malacha is being done through a psik reisha, that also doesn't apply, although I don't remember where we put that down. Okay, one more topic for today, and that is malacha shein tzricha legufa. Because in addition to davar shein miskaven, which is a shas sugya but is upgraded in terms of its sensitivity for Shabbos because of malachas machsheves, the Mishnah tells us on Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis that Motzias Hameis, 1 second. Motzias Hameis Bemita is Pater. The question is why? Reb Shimon says, your potter, why? Afibu meis sholem davim malach shein tzricha legufa. V'chol malach shein tzricha legufa, elo l'salka me'olav, havim malach shein tzricha legufa. Dibritzona lo balo, v'lo haya tzarechla. Hilkach, lav malachas machshevesi, l'Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, who says, we're worried about malachas machsheves, and therefore you are not chayv if you carry it out, motzias hameis, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you are chayiv. So Rashi's definition of ein tzricha legufa is b'rtzono lo balo. You didn't want this to happen this way. Now, it happens to be, if you look, Rav Shechter has an article, I'm not sure, I assume he published it in one of the Sfarim. I remember seeing it once in a Beis Yitzchak. Rav Shechter assumes that, according to Rashi, the situation is getting worse. So you have to check there if, according to Rashi, it's you're in a bad situation, or the situation is getting worse. Ayin Sham, you can probably look carefully at that. But let's take, leaving that argument for Rav Shechter on the side, let's say you have a big, beautiful picture window overlooking, let's say, the beautiful Tui Avenue, Ledugma. Is your window, beautiful picture window, right?
Gorgeous.
So let's say you had a tree that the branch was hanging down in front of that window. And it was bothering you. So what do? You want to be able to see, you know, your people watching on Tui. You want to be able to see who's walking by. So what do? On Shabbos, you go outside and you snap off the branch. So what malacha did you do? Kotzer. But if you were to ask the homeowner, they would tell you, I didn't really want to do kotzer. I did a malacha shein tzricha legufa. I got the branch out of the way. I would have much preferred that the branch not be there in the first place. I never have to do this malach.
So that's using that sheet as Rashi about.
Yeah, that's what we got to get to. So Tosfos says that's not the definition. Tosfos says that the definition here on Tzadi Dalam and Aleph says the malach shein tzricha legufa has nothing to do with what you wanted, what you didn't want. It has to do with whether your intention matches up to the original intention of the Mishkan. So if it's a similar almanas, it's the similar intent for that which it was in the Mishkan, so that's malacha tzricha legufa. If it's not matching what it was in the Mishkan, then it's ein tzricha legufa.
Sure.
On that case, they're both going to agree. It happens to be there is an interesting shita of the Rambam here in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin. The Rambam shita is like Rabbi Yehuda in this case, but the Rivet here and the other Achronim, that sheet does not accept it. We paskin like Rav Shimon that Mlach Shein Tzrich LeGufa is also Pater. This is an important discussion, the concept of Mlach Shein Tzrich LeGufa, and the idea of defining what is and what isn't Mlach Shein Tzrich LeGufa in general for Melachos Shabbos. We're not going to talk about this today, but there is a major machlokas between the Ramban and the Balamor that's connected to this, about the nature of certain malachos. Is the malacha of Borer a malacha tzricha legufa? What would you say?
Why not?
Why not? Because I'd much rather not have the dirt mixed into my jelly beans. I'm just getting rid of the dirt. Just the lasalko me'olov. Okay,
it's
leaving the worst.
Actual borer, but that's how you do borer.
Great. So it could be. So that's going to be the question: is borer ein tzrich legufa and it's an exception, or do you say no? That's actually called a melechas tikkun. Another example of this discussion: this is machlokas balamor ramban is about gozes. Gozes, shearing your sheep or cutting off your fingernails, is that a melechas siluk or a melechas tikkun? So part of that discussion is going to be predicated on this. And one, where is this? Right, so one more, just to bring back to where we started before, application of this is what we said from the Totzos Chaim with Rav Schechter's explanation. That now that we understand that Ein Tzricha LeGufa, at least according to Rashi, is you didn't want this in the same place. You're not having kavana for the creative malacha itself. Now we can understand why it's removing the tachlis. According to Tosfos, perhaps it's even more sharp because you're lacking the tachlis that was in the Mishkan. So if there's no tachlis similar to what it was in the Mishkan, then it's not analogous to what it was. Not betachlis and not bepeula. So to summarize what we talked about today were the following topics. We started out just with a general concept, the overarching chakira about whether or not the malachos of Shabbos are to keep you from doing work or to keep the world from doing work. That was just a general idea. And Rav Soloveitchik's chiddush that there's no such thing as a malacha b'shev al tasa, which we'll talk about next time in terms of malachos versus gzeiros. Rav Schechter's Ha'arif from Rav Soloveitchik. That was the initial concept. Then we talked about the concept of malachos being derived from the Mishkan in concept, and then the machlokas, the different opinions in the Gemara, whether the chiluk malachos themselves are learned from the Mishkan or somewhere else, but certainly the avos being learned from the Mishkan, and then we talked about the question of what's called an av and what's called a tolda, meaning what's called an av and what's a parallel av versus what is a tolda of that. We spoke about the different potential nafkaminas of that, machlokas Rashi and the Rambam about Zomer, so potentially the machlokas between the Kalkelas HaShabbos with the Rambam versus Rashi and Rav Shechter's explanation. Nafkamina potentially between Avos and Toldos would be the Ein Tzricha LeGufa according to Rashi, the way that Rav Shechter explained it from the Ran. Then we spoke about Melechas Machsheves, the intent that goes into the Melacha. Number one, Mekalkel. Number two, Mesasek. Number three, Dover Shein HaMiskavein. Within Dover Shein HaMiskavein, we pointed out that Mod Rabbi Yehuda, because of the requirement for Melechas Machsheves, we spoke about when we say that Mod Rabbi Shimon B'Sikresha, is that because it's Ke'ilu Iskavein or Chad Maisa, Nafkamina between the Aruch and the Tosfos, and the question of Dover Shein HaMiskavein on an Issa D'Rabbanan, 2 days in the Achronim. And finally, the concept of Ein Tzricha LeGufa with the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, the Chiddush of the Rambam and Tzak, and the question of how that's going to apply to other Melachos. Any questions, comments, or observations?